You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today. God bless you. Happy Monday to you. Thank God it's Monday, huh? Hope your day's off to a good start. Or if you're tuned in at 5:30, you're going to cap this day, and let's do it the right way, by sitting under the Word of God. Lord God Almighty, we exalt and praise you today, Lord. We worship you, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We ask for your blessings now on everything that transpires here. Speak to us through your word. We listen for your voice. Lead us and guide us. Lord, I pray for my extended family out here. Bless them. Bless their families. Bless the children. God bless my extended families out here on the radio and beyond here today. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're in Acts chapter 2. This is WGOD, the radio ministry of Island Community Church, and this program is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. We're looking, this sermon started on Friday. Friday, we were wrapping up chapter 1, how they picked a replacement. Now we're in the day of Pentecost, and that's what we're going to hear here today. Later on in the week, you'll hear the sermon that I just preached yesterday, and that was also in Acts chapter 2, the end of the chapter, and that is the birth of the church, how you were saved, and then the Lord put you in church. So that was my sermon yesterday. You will hear that later on in the week, right here on WWBC or WMIE. We're in the day of Pentecost here today, though. For more info on this church, islandcommunitychurch.net is our website. The sermons are uploaded on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church, and the services are broadcast live on Facebook as well, same name. Okay, let's get into the Word. Let's now go back to the day of Pentecost. Now, as we move on here, we're going to run into two different Greek words, meaning the same thing for the most part, the word glossa and the word dialectos, languages, and obviously the dialects. Verse 5, so there was dwelling in Jerusalem the Jews, the devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused, because everyone heard them speaking in his own dialectos, their own dialect, in their own language. All right, now look here for a minute. The Bible has just interpreted the Bible for you. When the 120 spoke with other tongues, the others heard them speaking in their own language. This was the spiritual gift of tongues. And also, may I say, that anyone at any time may possess this spiritual gift. You don't see it here so much anymore, but I've read and have heard about people on the other side of the world that hear the gospel for the first time and they speak in tongues. It's in the Bible, so why not? But understand what the gift of speaking in tongues is. It's speaking in another language that someone nearby you is able to hear that in his own tongue and understand. And the end result, they glorify the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's always to glorify God. Always. Then they were all amazed. This is verse 7. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, Are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this mean?" Others were mocking, and they said, "Yeah, these guys are drunk." Right? "They're full of new wine," they said. So no one understand what the spiritual gift of tongues was and is in places that are new to the faith. Speaking in another language, which in turn caused people to glorify God. And not the person that was doing the speaking, but the Almighty God that was doing the supernatural work. Amen to that? Everyone understand that? Spiritual gifts are always, 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 always for other people's edification and to bring glory to God. Not to oneself. Always. Now, this was perhaps the greatest sermon of all time, at least in the top two, the other being Paul's sermon on Mars Hill, which we'll get to in about maybe 2 to 3 years when we get to chapter 17, at the current rate that we're going. Notice, please, the difference in Peter after he received the Holy Spirit, starting with his refuting the idea that these 120 were drunk. Verse 14. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, he raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all those who dwell in Jerusalem, 'Let it be known to you and heed my words. These guys are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day," all right, that would be 9 a.m. "But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God." Interesting, huh? I mean, this is a famous prophecy from Joel. A. B. Peter is saying that this is being fulfilled right now, not at the end of the world, though we'll get to that here coming up. He says, this is, not will be. This is happening right on this day. And notice, too, that the Holy Spirit says here that we're living in the last days. We've looked at that, right? Once Jesus was taken up from the heaven, remember? We entered into the two-minute warning, as I like to say. "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. On my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's probably the Apostle Paul, one of his favorite quotes. Now, verses 17 and 18 have been fulfilled, just as Peter stated. However, not the rest of this yet. The rest of this hasn't been fulfilled. The rest of this prophecy is going to be fulfilled at the end. But like I said earlier, once the Lord Jesus returned into heaven, we've entered into the two-minute warning here. Listen to this end times prophecy from the Lord. Let me read two to you. One is Matthew 24:29. The Lord says this, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. The powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. All the tribes of the earth will wail when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Or how about this one? Revelation 6:12. Listen to this. John said, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the moon became like blood. You see, this prophecy we just read, this thing covers thousands of years. Only some of it has been fulfilled. The day and the promise that the Lord was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, on everyone who would call on the name of the Lord, that's been fulfilled. The rest of this, obviously, has not been fulfilled. We haven't seen this happen yet. Yeah, when this happens, it said the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? And that, in my opinion, is the day of the Lord. That day has not arrived yet. The day that you and I are currently in is what I call the day of the extended grace of God. The extended day of the outstretched arms of Almighty God. That's where we live in today. Right? The invitation to receive Jesus Christ is still available here today. Now, Peter's sermon continues, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death. So, whoa, there's that Greek word prognosis again. This time not referring to you and your salvation. Remember, Romans 8:28, remember? Whom he foreknew, these he's predestined. Here's that same word again. But this time, it's referring to God's plan concerning the death of his son. The word delivered is the word ekdodo, which means to hand someone over or given over. Jesus was given over or handed over according to the purpose and the counsel and the foreknowledge of God. Meaning, God had a conference. And in that conference, a predetermined plan was made, which all three persons of the Trinity signed off on. And that plan was that the Son of God was going to die in your place. Because you are a sinner. And the wages of sin, death. That's God's prognosis. Look at the way these fools throw that word around here today. What's your prognosis? Weather man, what's he say? Partly cloudy, high around 90. Hurricane coming. What's God's prognosis? What does he know in advance? That the son is going to die in my place. That was his predetermined plan and the prognosis of God. What's your prognosis, God? The son must die. So that he could accomplish the greatest thing ever, 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 ever. The Son of God would take a body and die on the cross in your place. Instead of you, they had a meeting together and they decided, because that God loves you so much, he decided that he would take a body. Remember, great is the mystery of godliness. God was seen in the flesh, took a body, dies in your place. That's what we call the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. dies in your place on the cross, takes all of your sins upon himself. And then the joy is, the Bible says, whoever receives that, as Jesus said, as the Son of Man, remember, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish, right, but have everlasting life. He did all the work. He did the dying. You and I need to do the believing. It's all you got to do. Well, these guys are going to be so convicted by this in a minute. We're going to see, as they're going to cry out, oh, no, I've killed God. What do I do? Where do we go from here? That's what he's building up to here coming up. Now, Paul put it this way. He said, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, go out here and tell somebody else about it. That is, 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ. Remember when Jesus said, those who have seen me have seen the Father. God was in Christ. When you saw the Son, you saw the Father. Because God is spirit. No one has seen him at any time. God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. That is, I'll take you, 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 you. I'll take you, I'll take you, and you. And he'll even take me. Like Paul, the other Paul said, as one born out of due time. But then again, at least the last will be first, right? God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Well, naturally, he imputed them on somebody else, right? The Lord, remember what Isaiah 53 says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us. Oh. God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not counting their sins against them, and has committed to us the word or message of this reconciliation. Now then, you know, yesterday on the news I saw ambassadors from the, what's it called, place in New York, right? Ambassador from here and ambassadors from there. Now look who you are ambassador. You know, if there is a sign there that says Jehovah, guess who sits in that seat? You! Not me. You sit in it. I'm not sitting in your seat. This is your seat. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through you. You are God's hands and feet. He's pleading through you to this lost world out here today. We implore you on Christ's behalf. That's really, we beg you. Please, remember Paul says, he's been to the other side. He says, knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. I know what's coming, he says. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God, for he, that's the Father, made him, that's the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Let's personalize that, to be sin for you. He made his Son, formed him. Maybe that's why they couldn't recognize him. He made him to be sin for you, so that you might become the righteousness of God in him. So this was God's plan all along, to reconcile you back to him. To do that, someone's got to die. Can't be reconciled to God without blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Someone's got to die. Someone's got to pay the price. My blood can't save you. It's not good enough. It's tainted. So this was God's plan all along, to reconcile you back to him. Now let's wrap up Peter's sermon and mine as well. Verse 32. So Peter's on a roll here. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we're all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out that which you now see and hear. Verse 36. Therefore, that is, since all this is true, is what the therefore is there for. All right? Since all this is true, let all the house of Israel know that God has made this Jesus, who you people killed, both Lord and Christ, or anointed. Ouch! He says, who you crucified. Now, when they heard this, verse 37, they were cut to the heart. I bet. The Holy Spirit moving like this? You people killed him, is what he said. Isn't that funny? How about him? Just 6 hours. How about him a couple weeks earlier? Right? I mean, here's a guy who says, you know what? I've never heard of Jesus ever. Look how bold he is now. Look at the change in him because he has the Holy Spirit. It's the same change that's in you now. When you call on the name of the Lord, you too are not the same person. And you notice, you're not hearing from Peter, you're hearing from the Holy Spirit. That's why he can get in your face like this and say this, because it's not Peter. You're hearing from God, okay? When he says, you did this, Peter's not excusing himself. Peter suffered greatly for this. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through him. He's going to say here, coming up in the next few chapters, he says, you people denied him. Boy, that's the pot calling the kettle black. Okay. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So, everyone who has the gift of faith, everyone who has the gift of faith got convicted by this sermon. They all agreed that they were guilty of having a part in the death of the Lord Jesus. And they asked the question, what shall we do? I'm convicted. What shall I do to make this right? I'm convicted. So Peter answered with two things. Number one, what do I do? Where do we go from here? First thing he says is repent. Greek word metanoia, change your mind. Or turn from your sin. All right, I'm convicted. My sin helped put the Son of God on the cross. I'm guilty, I admit it. Where do I go from here? Number one is repent. Change your mind. Turn around. We'd say in the Air Force, do an about face. That's a 180. Whoop. You leave it behind for the purifying fire of God and start going in the other direction and leave all that muck up to him. He'll take care of that. He'll take care of that right quick. You just leave it behind and don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. You don't look back. Start going the other direction. Number two, get baptized. Meaning the entire package here to be associated with Jesus. Starting with receiving him as Lord and Savior. Remember, confessing him. Whoever confesses me before men. So I'd say baptism, right? That's what we do when you're baptized. Whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. So, repent, get baptized, and as a result, you will, first of all, have your sins obliterated permanently. Now, that's some good news, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine walking out these doors at 11:43 on this Sunday morning, first day of March, year of our Lord, 2026? We read that in Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 33, Hebrews chapter 8. He says, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. That's good news, right? Amen. So, repent, receive Jesus Christ, get baptized. And as a result, you'll have your sins obliterated permanently, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And lastly, this is a promise for everyone in the world. Everyone who will hear this message and shout out and say, that's for me. That's for me. I want to receive the Lord Jesus. Is God calling you today? Will you confess? That word confess, homo legeo, means to agree with God. Will you agree with God that your sins helped to put the Son of God on the cross? Then where do we go from there? This is where we go. Let's pray. Lord God, we're convicted by this. And I encourage everyone here who was yet to do this, would do this now. I repent. We follow what you told us to do in the Word of God, to repent. I change my mind. I leave this behind. I don't want to live like this anymore. I turn. I repent of my sins. I pray that you too would not remember them anymore because they haunt me. And I confess your name. You promise he who confesses you before men, you will confess their name. And we do that right now. We confess your name. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. Please confess my name up in heaven today. Write my name in the book of life. And I exalt and praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I believe
in God the Father. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.